I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Gamma Ray Gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, New Orleans to New Hampshire, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. Got a big show coming up for you. This morning on the show, Marcus Thompson is going to join us, longtime Bay Area scribe. He has authored a book, KD's Relentless Pursuit of Greatness. We'll talk to Marcus about last night's game number one of the Western Conference Finals, the potential of this Warriors team without Kevin Durant, and what he feels about KD's prospects in the summer. Marcus will join us coming up in hour number two. In hour number one, just about 35 minutes from now, we'll do baseball with one of the more preeminent father-son combinations in Major League Baseball history. How about Cecil and Prince Fielder? Once upon a time, Cecil was the man that broke the long drought of hitting 50 home runs in a season. His son, Prince, was a masher of his own. Prince and Cecil Fielder will join us coming up here in 35 minutes from now. But a big chunk of this morning's show is going to be dedicated to last night's Warriors-Blazers game number one and the NBA draft lottery. Are the Warriors toying with the Blazers? Does Portland have any chance after what we saw last night? In the lottery, could Zion keep AD in New Orleans? Are the Knicks the big losers? It's all coming up this morning on the show. I'm sure a ton of you have plenty of reaction, plenty of hot fire, plenty of spit and vinegar after last night's NBA lottery. If you are in New Orleans, you, my friends, are celebrating and have been since last night, and you are no strangers to celebrating.
Yeah.
If you are in New York and a Knicks fan, if you are an Atlanta Hawks fan, a Chicago Bulls fan, a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, and you had designs to get the number one pick, you have been devastated.
How could it?
And so I need to hear about it all. I need to hear the entire spectrum of emotion this morning, reaction to last night's Zion lottery. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Well, in my estimation, one of the biggest takeaways from last night is I think we can shelve the conspiracy theories that the NBA rigged the lottery. Because let's be perfectly honest, if the NBA were to rig the lottery, they would have rigged it for Zion Williamson to go just about anywhere but New Orleans. And this is not a slight of the city of New Orleans because I happen to love New Orleans. I happen to absolutely love the cuisine, love the people, Love the festive atmosphere. Love that it just feels different here in the U.S. when you go to New Orleans. That's a city that is completely unique, and I love that. But the New Orleans Pelicans don't move the needle nationally. They are not a major market. They do not have history. If the NBA wanted to rig its next biggest superstar into a massive market, New York would have made sense. Chicago would have made sense. Hell, the Lakers would have made sense, and they jumped into the top four. And when you have New Orleans 1, Memphis 2, with Zion and Ja, I'm putting to bed any idea that the NBA rigs the lottery. Hey, the Knicks haven't won the lottery since 1985. The Knicks haven't won the lottery since New Coke was a thing. The NBA hasn't seen the Knicks win the number one pick, its flagship franchise in its number one market, and the team that resonates on Madison Avenue since Alf was number one. So I don't want to hear about this conspiracy theory, the rigging idea. The NBA is not doing it, very obviously. For the New Orleans Pelicans, I feel great for that city. Because you know what this is? This is karma payback after the NFC Championship game. Think about how awful life has been sports-wise in New Orleans since that fateful day in late January. Because the NFL officials completely botched their responsibility, the Los Angeles Rams went to the Super Bowl and the Saints was robbed. And the city of New Orleans and the organization of the Saints beat the gavel, banged the drum, knocked on the door. Hello, McFly. Raj, we want an explanation. Hello, Raj, we need an explanation. And the NFL went silent. The NFL hid because it was Super Bowl week. And they didn't want to dare taint their preeminent event. So New Orleans was here, screwed over, and couldn't even get the NFL to admit it. The NFL hid like a bunch of cowards that they are. New Orleans didn't watch the Super Bowl. Didn't watch it. Lowest rated major market in America for the Super Bowl, New Orleans. As rightly they should not have. The next day, Times-Picayune, the New Orleans newspaper, the sports section, blank. Nothing happened the day after the Super Bowl. I loved it. Anthony Davis decided, I don't want to be here. Trade me. The Pelicans fans walked on. The city of New Orleans stomped on. Sports fans of the Big Easy, nothing to root for. And 4 months later, vindication. Karmic payback. That's some good old-fashioned voodoo right there. That is New Orleans voodoo that was cooking since January. Throw some bat bones in there, some wings of sparrows, a newt's eye. Hell yeah. That's good old-fashioned New Orleans voodoo that they cooked up. And they got themselves Zion Williamson. I love it. But last night when you saw Zion realize he was going to become a Pelican, his face dropped. His energy level dropped. And it seemed like he wanted to quickly escape the room. NBA officials did quickly get him out of there. And reports after the lottery were that he was disappointed. He wanted to go to the Knicks. Do we think that Zion is deflated this morning upon learning he's going to be a Pelican? It is where we begin your cold open.
A lot of people thought I wouldn't do anything in college because I came from a small high school. So I guess the being a potential number one pick, that wasn't always the case for me. Because people doubted me a lot, but I wasn't really focused on that.
Jeff Cohen, who was with us in Cleveland, had worn that tie for all three of his wins. And I called him and I said, hey, I need a little help. And he said, Griff, there's no such thing as a lucky totem. There is nothing like that. If you see it, you can believe it. You don't need anything like a lucky rabbit's foot or anything like that. And I said, yeah, okay, can I have the tie? So he sent us the tie.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Hart Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
So that was Zion Williamson before the draft, audio courtesy of NBA TV. And that was GM David Griffin using that lucky totem and bringing home the win. I think Zion's disappointed, and I understand why. When you have the dreams built up in your head of doing things in New York, the biggest media market, a historic franchise in Madison Square Garden, I think it's hard to then come down off of that and think about playing in front of King Baby Cakes at Smoothie King Arena. I think that's understandable for a young man. And I think you saw Zion Williamson bashful, embarrassed at all of the attention everybody was lavishing on him last night as part of the lottery. I thought it was a little embarrassing. And I like that crew. I really like Jay Billis. I like Rachel Nichols. I thought it got a little obnoxious of just how he was going to save everything. And it was always about him. And I understand that for a lot of fans it was. But for Zion Williamson, I think it would have been better to play a little bit more down the middle, just in terms of professionalism, to not just keep making him the only part of the entire lottery, which I think he probably felt disrespected all the other people in the draft. But yeah, I can understand why he's disappointed. I can understand why he's deflated. There was a lot of potential cool landing spots in New Orleans, and his mind is not one of those. But for Zion, look, they're gonna love you. Have you noticed what they do for the Saints? Did you see that video that went viral of the Pelicans marketing department reacting to you going there? Do you realize what Drew Brees is in New Orleans? Do you understand what Anthony Davis was in New Orleans? That is a wonderful sports town that is waiting for something to pick them up off the mat after that NFC Championship game, and Brees ain't going to be around very much longer. So you can fill that void. And honestly, in the NBA, you don't need to play in New York or LA or Chicago or Miami to be a super duper star. We've seen Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant come out of Oklahoma City. We've seen a place like Orlando develop Penny Hardaway and Shaq as national, huge, marketable commodities. The Milwaukee Bucks have Giannis Antetokounmpo, and if they win an NBA championship, or even if him getting to the NBA Finals, he is a wildly popular star. You can do it in a lot of different places in the NBA. It doesn't have to be in New York. Just remember that. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227, your reaction to last night's NBA lottery. In the NBA playoffs, last night, game number one, advantage, and a significant one, goes to the Golden State Warriors. Yawn! Do the Blazers have any chance after what we saw last night? You can always hit me on Twitter as well. That's an easy way to get a hold of me, and I'll read them throughout the show. DA on CBS is the handle. Again, DA on CBS. When we come back, breakdown of game number one, Western Conference Finals. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
It's 2:30. 2:30.
Guys in there in the kitchen.
Bing a bang a boom dong ding ding ding.
What the hell have you been doing for the last 3 hours?
I was trying to make it fit.
How?
I mean, honestly, overhead luggage. After a while, you give up, right?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I miss my Marco Belletti. Where is that good man?
Oh, okay.
Bing a bang a boom dong ding ding ding.
22 minutes past the hour. You could always watch the show. The simulcast is cooking. Available on any device, anywhere, at watchda.com, on your phone, on your tablet, on your PC, your smart TV, your laptop. Watch us anywhere, watchda.com. And it's free. It's an Ask the Pros Day where you get to pick a question, any question for me. So hit me up using the Twitter handle, at DA on CBS. Be listening later on to the show and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. There were a lot of sad faces last night of the NBA lottery. A lot of them. And I got to say, I think the NBA has stumbled upon a really good new twist now for the lottery. We won't always have a prize so obvious as Zion Williamson. I mean, sometimes the prize is going to be Anthony Bennett. But you have this list of teams that start popping up and populating the screen. And when one of the teams that was in the top four has its card turned over early, that means somebody slips into the top four and a chance of that number one spot. And so that drama that built last night was pretty amazing. Because every time a team's card was turned over, there was immediate sadness. And the face of the GMs or the team representatives were just perfect. I had to tweet out a collage of the sad faces from last night. Because there is that old movie, Faces of Death, and now there's a movie, Faces of Not Getting Zion, and it looks kind of the same. It was a grisly horror show last night for the teams that did not get to that top four. And then the teams that were in the top four, we go to commercial break and come back. Oh my God, who's going to get the number one? And then you slot those teams. It was fun. It was dramatic.
Oh, my God.
I think the NBA stumbled on something there. That was a pretty good way to do it. I also think we have now found out we have to have a mandatory video live camera feed in the marketing department of all of these teams. Because the video that went viral last night of the New Orleans Pelicans marketing and sales department going absolutely bonkers. Imagine a team in the NCAA tournament when they unveil the brackets, unveil the seating, an at-large team that didn't think they were going to be in, and then suddenly they're in, going crazy. It was like that, except on steroids.
Yeah.
It was the team that didn't know they were getting into the NCAA tournament and then finding out they were a one seed. It was like a reaction plus biogenesis. It was amazing. That Pelicans marketing department absolutely melted down. It was like that movie Office Party. Like, what am I looking at here? We need that cam. We have to have that cam. I won't sleep until that cam is on all NFL drafts and NBA lotteries. I need it. I desire it. I've got to have it. Inject it into my veins. Live camera feed of marketing departments. You've got guys in suits driving Dodge Stratuses going, yeah, yes! Smashing their heads on the table. Doing shots of Patron. Yeah! My next quarter is going to be amazing. My phone will ring. I'm printing new business. business cards. That was the highlight of last night. Game one goes to the Warriors, and it was all too easy.
Column defending, Looney screening. Steph comes middle. Steph turns, fires away. Three ball, good. He didn't even handle it cleanly. 54-45. 7 seconds left before halftime.
Well, we'll look. I know it's cliche, but we'll watch the game film and see what they did. I know they gave Dame a lot of attention. They clogged the paint. We didn't finish the opportunities when we did have them. So when you turn the ball over and don't shoot the ball well and don't finish around the basket well, that's, you know, we got to look for other things.
Warriors radio on the call. That was Terry Stotts after the loss. I'm going to give the Blazers a mulligan on this one. The Blazers just played an emotional, tightly fought, hotly contested, down to the wire, game number 7 on Sunday. To turn around and try to play the back-to-back defending world champions and the super team of all super teams of its generation on the road after that 2 days later was going to be tough. And the Blazers played like it. The Blazers played like they had exhausted every last drip of energy they had in game number 7 and just couldn't summon it in game number 1 last night. But there's a big problem here. And that was last night was a game without Kevin Durant and the Blazers kicked the can. And one of the ways that they did that was they let Steph Curry be wide open far too many times last night. Their closeout defense, harassing Steph, making life hard on him, is going to have to be at such a next level that they didn't even touch last night that it worries me. Now, I still think this is a series. I still think this can be a series. I'm not jumping off the bandwagon after game number 1. Because how you lost is not as important as that you lost. So you lost. Fine. Had you lost in triple overtime on a last-second buzzer beater by Steph, it counts the same in the loss column as losing that way last night. So if you went through the motions and you didn't expend a lot of energy and that just was not your best effort, so be it. It's a road loss. You know you weren't going to get both at Oracle. The Blazers, though, have to provide more resistance and have to make the Warriors' life harder than it was last night. Because what you saw was a Warriors team that didn't really even have to try that much. Let me read to you the opening paragraph from the East Bay Times last night. Quote, "At times the Warriors had moments of brilliance. At other times they showed apathy. In other words, this felt like a regular season game." End of quote. The Warriors played game 1 of the Western Conference Finals like it was a Tuesday in February. That can't happen. There's absolutely no way the Blazers can win this series if that's the type of ease with which the Warriors are going to win their games. I still think this could be a series. I still think the Blazers can get 2 of these games. I said this yesterday. I think this can be a 6-game series. I doubt it can go 7, but I think it can go 6. At the very least, that's a 6th game in Portland. But let's not make it too easy on this Warriors team, who has had it far too easy for far too long. Harass Steph, make his life difficult, close out on defense, don't allow open shots, and CJ and Dame have to be better because last night they did not shoot well. I'll chalk it up. Not a lot of energy following that Game 7 series and the Game 7 win just 2 days ago, but things are going to have to change pretty quickly for Terry Stotts and company. When we come back here on the show, let's do a little baseball. One of the most famous father-son combinations in baseball history is Prince and Cecil Fielder. They're going to join us coming up here next on the show, and plenty more on last night's draft lottery throughout today's show. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
good value, big upside.
Yeah, if you and I could sit and watch the 1978 World Series.
Yes!
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I always get a kick out of that rejoin. That's Brian Kenny, MLB Network. And I oftentimes find myself watching the 1978 World Series. I will explain coming up here in mere moments. But
how about that?
A little reminder here on the DA show that if you ever miss anything or want to hear it again, we've got full episodes available in podcast form. Just simply go to iTunes, radio.com, or other places podcasts are available and search the DA show. You'll find full episodes there, full hours every single day. Also, that's available on our website. So that's DA On Demand. Just go to cbssportsradio.com and click on the DA Show tab. The reason I find myself watching the 78 World Series quite a bit is because oftentimes the YES Network here in New York, home of the Yankees, plays the 1978 World Series, which they beat the Dodgers in. And the pace of the game is so fast, it is so notable, which is what Brian Kenny and I were talking about when he joined us here a couple of months ago. Our next two guests are the only father-son combination in Major League Baseball history to both have 50 home run seasons. They were two of the preeminent power sluggers of their generation. And when Pops did it in 1990, it was not a feat that had been done except one other time in the previous 25 years. Prince and Cecil Fielder join us here on the DA Show this morning. Prince, good morning. Cecil, good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
It is great to have you guys here on the show, and I love that you guys are teaming up with Kingsford for a Body by Barbecue marketing campaign because, you know, there's Body by Jake, there's Body by Atkins Diet, there's Body by Keto, but I prefer Body by Barbecue as well, okay? And I prefer my Body by Barbecue coming up Memorial Day weekend to start a big summer, and so Cecil will start for you because out of respect for Pops, we'll do this. How fun is Body by Barbecue instead of actually having to deal with, you know, health food?
Well, hey, I've never dealt with health food, so you know I like Body by Barbecue. You know, we were talking earlier, I mean, it's just a part of what I do. You know, grilling is a part of what I do. I love getting out there on the grill, showing my skills. I use my Kingfish charcoal, give me a few chips, put some mesquite wood in there, some hickory, and go to work, and that's what I do. I love barbecue, and so it was a good fit for me because I'm a cook. This is what I do every day. I cook, and then I grill. I do whatever. I cook whatever, so I love doing it.
Very nice. Cecil and Prince Fielder joined us here on the show. Got to go to work on that grill. I love it. Now, Prince, you played in two amazing eating cities. In fact, really three amazing eating cities with Milwaukee, Detroit, and in Dallas with the Texas Rangers. What's the best eating city that you played in?
Man, that's a good question. I have to say Texas. You know, they got they're the ones with all the, you know, barbecue. So, I mean, I think Texas is the best. They have everything, you know. Plus, you know, there's a lot of bodies by barbecue out there, so you got it. You know what I mean? I say that with respect now.
That's right. Yeah. No doubt.
Hey, yeah. You know, and Texas barbecue is unique because they do a lot of the sausage. They love the Texas brisket. They do a lot of things. What was your favorite order, your favorite part of Texas barbecue?
Well, I used to eat a lot of the sausage, everything, but I have a pet pig now. So, you know, I'm leaning more towards the chicken, grilled chicken and stuff like that.
The fish.
You know what I mean? Once I got a pet pig, I had to. It's just tough looking at bacon.
I told him bacon would be in trouble at my house.
So this is interesting. Cecil, when you saw Prince's pig, did you start feeling bad eating pork?
No, not at all. I had my eyes on bacon.
That's great. Now, Prince, what's the name of your pig?
Bacon.
So you named your pig Bacon, but now you don't eat bacon anymore?
No, it's just weird. It was weird. My kids thought they can still do it, and then the first day they tried, they're like, "Nah, this is weird. Dad, Bacon's licking he's putting his snot on my leg, and I'm eating bacon. I can't do it." Like I told you, weird.
Will you eat turkey bacon?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's different. Yeah, okay. Anything that's not a pork. Yeah.
Now I've thought about this. I love pork so much, and I love beef so much, but when I look at these little piglets and I look into their eyes that are on TV or I'm at a farm or something like that or on the internet, I do start feeling bad.
It grabs you, doesn't it?
It grabs you. This is why I'm never going to have a pet pig. I think you made a big mistake here, Prince.
No, he's great.
No, bacon's cool, but I'm going to tell you what, he didn't make me stop because I like it.
That's great. Now, Cecil, you played in Japan in 1989, and then you came back here to the States. What was the best thing you ate in Japan?
Oh, man, Kobe beef. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then we went to this restaurant called Onishi's every once in a while, and he had the Japanese pancakes.
Oh, okay.
So, unbelievable.
Now, tell me about the Japanese pancakes for our listeners that don't know about it.
You know, lobster in it, shrimp. I mean, it was crazy. Onishi's.
I love
in
it.
Kobe, Japan. That's when Prince had his little tight-ass shorts on going to the ballpark. His mother would dress him in these tighty-whities. I was like, what are you doing? Got my son coming to the ballpark with tight. I mean, you know like, I mean? Skin tight.
I dressed lean. I was lean.
Well, you know, you know, Prince, you actually were ahead of the time fashion-wise because, you know, now everything is very slim fit. It's very Euro style.
That's
you know?
What happened.
So you were ahead of the curve. You know, you should tell Dad that.
Yeah.
He was upset. His mother would do that to him on purpose. I'm like, why are you dressing this kid in tight clothes?
You know, Prince, you're around my age, and we went through the late 80s, early 90s, and full 90s, where it's all about big baggy jerseys. Did you have a favorite baggy jersey of an athlete growing up that you always used to wear?
Not really. I mean, all the jerseys, yeah, we usually hung them up. So I really didn't wear too many jerseys growing up. No, I don't really have a specific one.
Okay.
Like I wore, but I mean, King Griffey was my favorite player growing up, you know. So, I mean,
we'd go to Seattle and the kid would leave me and go stay with King Griffey.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, he wouldn't even stay with me. Dad, I'll see you. I'm going to kid's house.
That's amazing. So, Prince, you got to spend time with your hero when you were young, King Griffey Jr.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he had all the video games, so, you know, I go to his house. I mean, he had the first. I don't know if you remember NBA Jam, right?
So, yeah, of
but
course.
He actually had the
arcade game.
The arcade. And that was mind blowing for me.
Oh, forget
it. But you could actually get those.
Yeah, right. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
You didn't have to pop quarters then, I guess. You could just
play for free.
No,
not at all. Play all day.
Oh, that's amazing. And you're doing it with Ken Griffey Jr. Is he also playing with you?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
See, he had it made, man. He he got to hang out with all the dudes while I went to work back then. He hung out with everybody.
That final game of the regular season, 1990, I'll never forget because all the kids in class the next day were like, did you hear Cecil hit 50 and 51? Did you hear? When you went into game 162, again, hitting 50 home runs was kind of unheard of at that time. Was that like, hey, if I do this, I put myself in immortality? Or were you just playing that game like any other game?
Nah, it was like this dude sitting next to me was on me like, Dad, come on, get it done. What are you doing? I mean, I had more pressure at home than I did at the ballpark. It was incredible. Dad, what are you doing? Get on top of the plate. Make him come in there. Make him do it. And, you know, Steve Atkins made a mistake, and I jumped him. So, I mean, it was a great – that was coming full circle for me because, you know, being in Toronto, not getting to play every day, then having to go to Japan and play, then come back – and you know, kind of say I told you so. It was full circle for me. So it was definitely an incredible year, and it was a good time. And that was good times in Detroit at that time. I mean, I was there with Sparky, and you know, he's like the most unbelievable person in baseball for me. Was Sparky Anderson? I love the guy.
Yeah.
So I got to spend you know a lot of time with him, and you know, he talked baseball. He was a baseball man. You know, I remember one time we were in Oakland. It was right when they first came out with all the printouts and all that stuff. So it was me and Jack Morris and Sparky and Tram. So Skip says, Seth, is that paper hit? I said, no, Skip. He says, is that paper throw strikes? I said, no, Skip. He said, don't bring it in my clubhouse. That's old school. You know, that's all right. They do now is analytics. Everybody got a piece of paper, you know.
Yeah, that's pre-money ball, that's for sure. Don't bring the piece of paper inside the clubhouse. Yeah,
don't bring it in here.
That's great. Cecil Fielder and Prince Fielder joined us this morning on the show. It's awesome as well that you guys ended up with the same number of home runs, 319. That is so wild. and you guys are part of the Body by Barbecue campaign here. So I want to get tips on the grill from both of you guys because the summer's almost here. Memorial Day weekend's almost here. Prince, we'll start with you. Give me your best tip on the grill.
Well, for me, I'm a foodie. So, my dad's more of the grill on lock. I'm going to go with the foodie and, you know, the Taste of the Game, the mm-hmm. book or whatever. They okay. have tons of good recipes. Mine in there is probably the fish tacos. They got some burnt ends in there.
Mm.
I'm going to let my dad talk about the grill.
You come to my house, if the grill's hot, you get what you want. So I'm a ribs guy. You know, I like my ribs. I like my country ribs. You know, I like everything. But, you know, whatever you like at my house, when it's time to hit the grill, I'll put it on for you and make it happen.
I love it. Taste of the Game. Kingsford celebrating the best of barbecue and baseball. It's a cookbook with 30 regional dishes inspired by all the teams in Major League Baseball. And Kingsford's Body by Barbecue promoting the brand Taste of the Game campaign is happening right now. Extra saucy, extra meaty. Body by Barbecue, that makes me very hungry, even at 9:49 in the morning right here on the East Coast. Prince and Cecil Field are joining us here on the show. Guy, this was awesome, man. Happy upcoming Father's Day for both of you guys.
And
it was awesome
up.
To talk to you. Man, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You got it. Prince Fielder, Cecil Fielder, joining us this morning on the show. The only fun duo in baseball history to both hit 50 home runs in a season. And I'll never forget, I was in sixth grade the day after that Cecil hit 50 and 51. And that morning, you know, we were all big sports fans, obviously, growing up. And that morning it was, did you hear? Cecil did it. And before steroids, this was 1990, hitting 50 home runs was virtually impossible. I mean, hitting 50 home runs was a sign of immortality. It had only happened once in 25 years. I think that was the George Foster year. And the fact that he did it, and again, this was a guy that played in the Japanese League the year before, was, oh my God, and he was larger than life because look at how big he was. I mean, he didn't look like most baseball players. It was epic, and now knowing that both those guys hit 50 home runs is pretty cool as a father-son combination. And that fits perfectly into the DA show because, you know, as much as we love sports, we love food just as much.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
By the way, I am heading down for a long weekend to Texas for the end of this week and next and over the course of this weekend. And so I'm going to be in San Antonio, Austin, and Waco as we do a little road trip, me and the Bourbon Bell, heading down to see some family, see some friends. And I'm very excited. So if there is any food wrecks that you got for me in Waco, Austin, or San Antonio, let me know because I am all in. Also, we're flying into Dallas, so we could do Dallas as well. I am so fired up for my Texas barbecue. I cannot stand it. Can't stand it.
Puffiness with sodium.
Itchy nipple chub, bro.
Gotta have thick meat.
Gotta. Can you believe that Prince has a pig named Bacon? And that Cecil still eats bacon no matter what. All the kids are like, no, don't eat the pig. You're eating our pet pig. Cecil's like, I don't care. I like bacon.
That's breaking news.
Really good. Last night, the lottery goes to the New Orleans Pelicans. Zion Williamson is now going to be drafted by New Orleans. Who would have seen that one coming? We are discussing that this morning here on the show and getting your reaction to it. Your toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Jerry tweets, time for the NBA to do a live drawing. The system is rigged. Yeah, I'm not hearing that. I don't see how you can claim the system is rigged on a night where New Orleans land the number one pick and Memphis gets number two. The two most marketable stars in the NBA coming out of this draft class is going to be Zion by a large margin and Ja Morant. Those two guys went to New Orleans and Memphis. Don't tell me this is rigged. Not with the Knicks never winning the lottery, ever. If you wanted to claim the lottery was rigged, you'd have to provide me evidence that they were consistently helping out the premier franchises, the flagship franchises, or the large markets. the Knicks and the Lakers are not winning lotteries, even when they are in the lottery. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. The only time you could really make a case for conspiracy theories was 34 years ago with Ewing and New York, and then in 2003, LeBron and Cleveland. But that's the only two that I can really be sold were manipulated for the betterment of the NBA. Everything else? Where's all the help for the other flagship franchises? I'm not seeing it, so I'm not buying it. You can't tell me the NBA wanted to see Zion go to New Orleans and Ja go to Memphis. I can't see that. But I don't care because I don't mind it at all. I think it's awesome as vindication for Pelicans fans that just got screwed watching their Saints get screwed by the NFL in the NFC Championship game. When we come back, speaking of, could Zion keep AD in New Orleans?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.